This episode is sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy!
It is the Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists in industry and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
All right, Dynasty Podcasts. We are live. Is that like a tiny little phone?
No, that's my terrible key. That's my terrible car alarm key.
Oh, okay.
Please don't judge me.
No, I'm not judging, man. I thought you had like a tiny phone like out of Zoolander. Like, that was amazing.
I've never seen Zoolander.
Oh, Zoolander's really good. welcome to Dynasty Podcast, the podcast where we talk about Zoolander with Chicago's premier artists and industry. Haima Black here, and our first guest of the night, returning guest we had, I did an interview with you a few years ago, actually a couple blocks down the street at Talia Hall. I'm here tonight with DJ Oreo. How are you doing, man?
Whoa. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm fine, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thank you again for coming up here. When we last spoke, it was, man, like 2015, 2016.
2015 in a basement on a very comfortable couch in Talia Hall.
Oh, man, that's an amazing memory. Yeah, yeah, it was because there was the Oreo Fest that night
at Talia Hall. I was so stressed.
You seem a lot more relaxed tonight, today.
I ain't got a show to do right now.
Right. It's always more stressful on day of show.
Oh, my God. It's horrible. It's the jeebies, man. It's the heebie-jeebies.
Doing a show is kind of like putting together your birthday party. It's like it's going to be fun for everybody except you.
It's trying to surprise yourself and forget that it's a surprise.
Absolutely. So, you know, I've of course seen you doing big stuff over the last couple of years, but how have you been, man? Like, how's life for you in 2018 right now?
Still stressful.
Yeah?
Unfortunately, it's still stressful, but I can't really ask for it to be be anything less, only more. If it's not stressful, you're not doing it right.
No, absolutely. I mean, there's something to be said for keeping busy and challenging yourself.
Yeah, consistently challenging myself, doing new things. I never really know what's next. It kind of just pops up, and I'm like, oh, we should do that.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. Let's start with that process. You know, when you're coming up with a concept or when you're taking on a project, is it mostly people coming to you, or is it you just waking up one day and being like, you know what we're doing? We're doing this.
Oh, man. I have to see something, it's literally a spark that just lights a flame, and I'm just obsessed with it until I get it done. Like, man, it's actually horrible because I see something and I focus on it and I obsess with it till I get it done.
Yeah. What was the last project where you were like all consumed with like, this is the thing we're doing?
I went on tour with Chance.
Yeah.
That was really it. That was probably the last time I had like a project.
Which tour was that?
The Be Encouraged tour.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say a solid year from now.
Yeah.
A solid year. Yeah, we started in April last year.
And that wasn't your first time on tour, right?
No, that wasn't my first. My first tour was the Kids These Days last tour.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow.
Yeah, I was there.
And that's your first time out on the road.
I was DJing for Chance at the time. That was my last time going. I mean, that was my first time going on the road.
Yeah.
That is when me, Pat the Manager, Austin Vesley, and Chance went the back of like his mother's Lexus and did like 8 states.
Yeah.
Michigan, Kansas, maybe Kentucky. Well, 8 shows. Michigan, Kansas, Kentucky. We ended off in, like, Champaign, and I can't remember the other cities. It was literally Kids These Days and Chance, and we went and did, like, these shows and got to it.
That's wild. Was it all the members of Kids, like, all, what, 8 or 9 members?
No. Macy, Liam, Greg, Vic. Macy, Liam, Greg, Vic.
Kind of the core.
And it's like, I want to say the real Kids These Days. I don't really know the full history behind Kids These Days. I came in like on the tail end of that.
Yeah. Was there a sense on that tour where you were like, oh my gosh, this is sparking a moment in Chicago that we're going to be feeling for years, like this collective of people?
No.
No?
I did not. I was just happy to be here.
You were just like, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, like we were just doing what we were supposed to be doing, what we wanted to do. So like we, of course, depending on how big it is in the moment, you don't really know how monumental it's going to be unless it's monumental in the beginning.
Sure, sure, sure. Absolutely. And you also did a tour with Yachty, right?
Oh, yeah.
What was that one like?
That one, the first one, my first tour with him was his first headlining tour.
Wow.
So we just went out and got it done. We had to develop a chemistry. It took a good bit of time, but once we got it, unspoken language.
How many dates was that?
A full 40.
That's a big one.
That's like a full tour. Most tours last 8 weeks.
Yeah.
8 weeks. Like, most full tours last 8 weeks, unless you're just doing, like, a couple spot dates. Or you could do, like, they call them runs sometimes. Like, you do a small run where, like, Vic is about to do his next run. It's, like, some festivals and some one-offs. And you add them close together, and you call it a tour.
Right, of course. And when you're out on a long run like that, you know, what's the best thing about it? And then what are you like, oh, my gosh, I cannot wait to get home and have clean socks or whatever that thing is?
Well, it depends on how long you've been touring.
Yeah, for like a long tour.
No. I'm saying like depending on how many tours you've been on,
sure,
you figure it out.
Right.
Once, like for me, touring with Yachty, I remember his first tour. He didn't really know how to like, he literally took all of his friends. I can't make this up. He took all of his friends. He has a group of friends called the Sailing Team.
Mm-hmm.
He had his manager, his tour manager, his sound guy, me, his DJ, his security guard. I think I just named
four or five people.
I just named like seven people. There were 12 bunks on a bus.
Yeah.
There were 20 plus people on that bus.
Holy shit. That had to smell horrible.
Only in the back. Only in the back. Only in the back is where it smelled. It was just a bad place in the back. I didn't sleep in the back. I had a bunk.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget it. But it was definitely one of the most fun tours that I've ever been on. We had like water fights on stage.
That's amazing.
No, it's not.
No?
not when you have a computer. It's fun.
That's true. It's fun
to watch. Right. It was kind of like, he walked over to me. He was like, I was like, I got my computer, bro. He was like, you lucky. Lucky. I was like, ha-ha, at work.
Dodged a water bullet.
Yeah. We've done so much. I did so much with Yachty, man. Crazy thing, I talk to Yachty like once a week.
That's amazing.
That's like really my little brother. I love him to death. He's such a sweet person.
Well, when you're on that tour scenario, it's like you're in close quarters. So like, yeah, you ideally you're gonna make close friends.
Either you're gonna love him or hate him.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so thin.
Yeah,
so thin.
Something I hear from a lot of my friends who tour, because I want to take this podcast on tour, but we haven't gotten to that point just yet. But you know, a lot of my friends are musicians who have been on this podcast and stuff, and what they'll tell me is to be like, oh, you know, we're gonna be in Salt Lake City, we're gonna be in Miami, we're gonna be in Las Vegas, we're gonna be in all these different places, and I'm like, oh, cool, you get to see all these cities, and then they're like, dude, you like wake up, you go to sound check, and then you roll out that night, like you don't have any time to see anything. Was that the case?
It's true. I've been all around the world, haven't seen a city.
I haven't seen a single thing. It's a lot of Cracker Barrels and like gas stations.
No, it depends. It honestly depends on who you tour with,
mm-hmm.
And what their personal preferences are.
Yeah.
Okay. So, touring is basically. And, of course, it's a show.
Right.
But tour is set up for one person to do a specific show and feel as comfortable as possible. Now, what that person's comfort level is varies. If you have Yachty, who at the point in time had one bus,
mm-hmm.
you have one green room, a bunch of food, a bunch of friends, and that's it. If you have Chance, who has 10 buses and 17 trailers, which is like you have arenas, you have multiple green rooms, you have catering, and life is great because everything is there.
Right.
If you have no money and you're touring in an enterprise rental car for 8 months with four people,
yeah,
it can be a bit degrading.
Yeah, I'm mentally. Sure. Yeah.
It hurts. oh man, it hurts.
But you've gotten, it's, I think you have an interesting perspective because you've gotten to be on both, you've kind of gotten to be on all sides of this. You've been on like the superstar tours, it sounds like you've done the DIY thing, and then you also do your own events. So,
what's crazy? I did one DIY. No. Kind of one and a half.
Okay.
Vic had a driver when we were overseas. Pat did it himself, but it was literally, we did the Kids These Days tour, boom, Mac Miller tour.
So just big jump right off the bat.
Right off the bat. Had an RV. Man, that RV is legendary because we were on a six-week tour on an RV with no working air conditioning.
Oh, my God.
Best time I've ever had in my life.
Really?
Like, we were, like, to the point, like, it, I remember, like, one day we were just all just in there. It was, like, 90 degrees on the RV. We were all literally in our underwear just like. We couldn't open enough windows.
Right.
We just all just, like, spread out somewhere. It was, man, like, it was that hot.
I bet you're never going to forget that feeling.
No, but it was literally the funnest summer. It's one of the funnest summers that I've ever had.
Yeah.
Like, but even then, you know, like, it's just, you don't stop working.
Sure. Oh, of course. Yeah,
it's an
absolutely.
Experience. Like, you know, you can say that I'm never going to go back. Some people never go back. Some people do go back.
Now, for you, you know, being a DJ, how do you put yourself out there? How do people find you? Like, obviously, you've got the connection with Chance. Like, that I understand how they find you. But, like, for an artist who might not know you, like, how do you get in front of an artist that you don't know and demonstrate that you're the DJ they should bring out versus any other DJ in any other city?
Man, honestly, just tweet me or say something to me on Instagram.
It's that simple.
There is no big, long team of 15 people, mm-hmm. 3 assistants, 7 managers. Like, nah, it's just me.
You're an accessible person.
I try not to be.
I feel like
I'm accessible.
You're definitely, I've definitely booked less accessible people on this podcast. And I mean that as a compliment. I mean that as, like, you're a guy who's responsive and, you, like, it seems like you are involved in your day-to-day.
No, because I hate being an asshole, bro. Like, you gotta understand, sure. I've seen, like, horrible people. Some of these people are trash individuals. Mm-hmm. Like, my booking agent, Kara Lewis. Kara loves me.
Mm-hmm.
Kara and Casey. Casey also loves me because I just show up on time and I do my damn job.
Yo, it's amazing how much that means. Like, so I teach at Columbia College. I teach an entrepreneurship class, and I talk to a lot of students about, you know, and there's students in there who are doing film,
right.
Fashion, music,
right.
All that stuff. And I will tell them, like, look, yes, having talent is really important. That's great. Have your talent. Be great at what you do. But you know what? If you show up on time, if you're easy to work with, if you're somebody who pulls your own weight and you just do what you need to do, like, it's amazing how much, and that sounds so obvious, but it's amazing how far that will go, just showing up and being there.
No, like, you got, it's a professionalism thing. Like, it's a weird job.
Right.
Still a job.
But it's still a job, 100%.
It's what the job entails or inclines. Or I fucked that word up, never mind. But yeah, like, it's just how it goes. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes I'm late, but I'm always professional.
The professionalism, it's so important, just not blowing it off, not showing up totally wasted and hungover, just being like somebody who does the job. That's going to make it easier for people to want to work with you.
No, I don't show up wasted.
No, people, and I'm not suggesting you do. I'm just saying, like, in general,
No, there are people that would show up plastic. Oh my God, just horrible.
Yeah.
Oh man, I've seen some things.
Now, you know, on your end, because we're talking a lot about the tour, the work you're doing with other artists, which is great. But on your end, you know, when your team reached out to me, your people reached out to, like, hey, Oreo's got some cool stuff going on with Oreo Fest. He should tell you about it. He should come on the podcast. And I was like, hey, easy sell. What's going on with Oreo Fest? Because I literally don't know the answer. So, like, bring us into the developments with Oreo Fest, and, you know, and that's your festival.
Oreo Fest is, the best thing I can say is just under construction. It's
okay.
It's literally a lot to handle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a festival. It's mine. It's my baby. I care about it a lot. It's like, Oreo Fest is like the sheltered basketball star that nobody gets to see play.
Okay.
And it's, It's a lot. It's just a lot. To sum it up, yes, Oreo Fest is back.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we want to go? It's just a question of, it's just a question that needs to be answered. Who, mm-hmm. like the who, what, where, when, and why. Who, don't know. When, mm-hmm. don't know. Why, because okay. I want to do it.
But it's in the works, so is it, you know, I'm going to like try to get some vague answers. Like, are we thinking that we'll see an Oreo Fest event this summer, this fall, this year?
Summer, definitely.
Okay.
This is not like, oh, yeah, you know, we've been working on this album for a year and a half.
Right.
No, it's just doing my best to make it perfect.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, that's something that even just like reading other articles and interviews with you, it's like it really drives home that, correct me if I'm wrong, you're involved with really every single element of Oreo Fest.
Oh, yeah, that's literally what takes so long is right. because, and when I tell you, every, down to the janitor at the venue,
right.
we are involved. Okay, mm-hmm. yeah, we are seriously involved. Down to like, I might as well be an artist. I care about every element.
Sure. You are an artist, man.
Lights. I mean, artists are critique their work down to the canvas that they paint on. The paint, to the brush, the stroke, mm-hmm. the size. Like, I'm looking at everything. Down to the point, I know what type of lights. I know what type of board. I know the board and light capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Every piece of content behind me, I'm responsible for. Like, I've been told that I remind someone of Beyonce.
Have you always been that type of artist and creator where, like, you need to be involved in every element and make sure that everything you personally sign off on?
Only with Oreo Fest.
Oreo Fest.
If it's someone else's show, I put in my two cents to, like, hiding it. But
if this has your name.
This is all I got.
Yeah.
So I got to give it. I treat everyone like it's the first and or the last. Because it could be.
Sure, of course. Now, when you're putting this together, like, do you have your go-to team, or is there going to be different individuals contributing every time?
We have no idea.
No idea. So it's going to be.
It's kind of like, you say you want to do this? You sure? Are you sure? All right, fine.
Well, and how many of these have you done now? How many Oreo Fests have you done? Okay. So what have you learned over the evolution? Because 3 is a good amount in terms of events. Like, what have you learned while doing these, and how has the process changed for you?
You can't do anything by yourself. You need a team for it.
Yeah.
I learned that first. You need a team for anything that you do, especially on that scale. You have to give it all you got. Like, you physically have to give it all you got, because if you don't, you won't be happy with what comes out.
Yeah.
If you're not giving it 110%, just don't waste your time.
When you've done these in the past, have there been instances where you think, oh, man, I wish I had changed that. I wish I knew this going in. I wish that I had the foresight to plan for this thing. Are you self-critical, or have you been really happy with how they've turned out?
I only hated my set on, I think, the third one. I just didn't like it. Everybody else had a great time.
Yeah.
That's what's funny. Like, everyone else can see everything, and I pay attention to it, everything involved.
Well, and if you're always going to be the most, a lot of artists are their harshest critic. You're going to be the one who hears that one thing that you feel didn't go right, but nobody else in the room is going
to
know.
Like, all right, Peep Gang, it's a lot easier to be a rapper in this, because rappers, people pay to hear people perform. Mm-hmm. They meet like their music.
Right.
People just pay to see me entertain them.
Right.
So, and like, they're not coming for one. Like, I'm the common denominator, whether it's another artist or not. But do you know what it's like to, like, when I went on tour with Chance, nobody knew who I was. Nobody knew who I was. It was me against 20,000 people.
Wow.
A night.
You got to win over each crowd.
Yeah. I don't think they like me in Minnesota. Feminist Twitter was pissed at me in Minnesota. They were pissed.
Wow. What happened?
I didn't play enough Beyonce.
Oh, there you go.
Now, actually, it wasn't even enough Beyonce. I didn't play enough women for feminist Twitter.
Okay.
Feminist Twitter is strong in Minnesota. It's Minnesota. It was Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Feminist Twitter is so strong in Minnesota. They were upset.
It's a good takeaway for next time you're in there.
Yeah, they were really heckling me down that night.
Is it weird being an artist in the social media age where, like, you can see a response? And I mean, like, in theory, if you wanted to while you're DJing, you could have, like, a tablet with Twitter open and have your mentions, like, refresh. And, like, is it weird to be able to see the real-time response to what people are saying about your set?
Unfortunately, I'm not that rich to have something on the side of me.
Sure, sure.
With the Twitter feed. But I just use my phone.
Yeah.
Like, I literally put my Twitter and my Instagram up. What you want to hear? Let's do it.
Yeah. So you definitely, like, want to build on that engagement, that feedback in real time.
Yeah. But I had to learn fast. You can't please everyone.
Oh no. Of course. 100%. You can't.
You can't please everyone. You can win over a crowd. Can never please everyone. There's no point where everyone is happy. I remember this one kid. Oh, man. He was pissed. I can't remember what he asked me to play, like, just like this horrible song. I had to block him. he was on me for like 2 days.
That's wild.
Don't think I forgot. I'm like, bro, are you still on this? I'm thousands of miles away from you.
Like, why? Like, why is that something you're doing?
He was pissed.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
That's nuts. So there's unspecified Oreo Fest events on the horizon. Is it reasonable to say, like, we'll have details in the coming weeks, the coming months, or is it just kind of, like, to be determined?
To be determined.
Okay.
I can't even front it. It's literally in the works. It's literally phone conversations every single goddamn day.
Yeah.
What do we want to do now? What do we want to do now? Well, this is what they said. Well, this is what they said.
When do you know that you have it right? Because, you know, some artists,
when the checks are sent, when the checks are sent and the contracts are signed.
Yeah.
That's when you know it's time.
That's when you just got to get it done.
Yeah. It's just a long process. Especially like with Rolling Loud doing what they're doing and Ian Lala doing what they're doing. Like, you gotta find your correct time and place and all of this.
Well, that's another good question. Like, does it, you know, something like Lollapalooza, is that a boon or is that a kind of hindrance where, like, okay, I already know the first week and a half of August is off limits. I'm not even going to try to compete with that.
Why can't I compete with it?
Well, I'm not saying you can. I'm just saying, like, you know.
No. I'm not even saying, like, you're offending me. It's like, no, you don't compete. You piggyback.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You don't compete. Why would I go? They have probably $1 billion invested.
Yeah, they have so much money.
And they, like, it's $1 billion. No, you don't try to overtake. You just play your part.
Right. You find a way to, like, connect to the energy around that.
Yeah, you don't play yourself. Don't compare where you don't compete. Just get in where you fit in.
Yeah, and build your own lane, man. And you've done a really good job with that. Now, are you ever looking for collaborators? Are you ever looking for people to get involved with what you're doing? Or,
you mean like interns?
Interns or just people who are like, I don't even know, like maybe not even interns, but just in general, you ever like, hey, man, we're really looking for a web designer. We're really looking for a photographer. Like, or do you really feel like you got your core group?
I'm too nice to ask people for those types of things.
Okay, all right.
I mean, if they offer, yeah, but as far as like, Oreo Fest is looking for designers,
right,
creators, artists, this, that, and
you're
the
too
third.
Polite.
I'm just like, yeah, I'm just going to wait.
Yeah.
I'm just going to figure it out.
Plus, I feel like you're somebody who just wants to do so much of it yourself. Like, it has to reflect you.
I don't want to, but sometimes I have to.
Sure.
Like, I physically create all of the, like, video content up to Oreo. Only other two people that have recreated stuff. Videos for me. It's Cole Bennett and a good friend of mine. I don't know if I can say her name, but she knows who she is.
Okay. And Cole Bennett, man, I mean, that's a great look to get because he's hustling really strong right now, too.
Cole is a record label.
He is. He's really like, it's become something else.
He's literally a record label.
Yeah. We had him on the podcast.
I'm just going to say it. He's the YSA Cheese TV. he's the YSA Cheese TV.
We had him on the podcast like a year or two ago, and I feel like that's a good time to have had him on because I feel like if I reached out now, it would probably be much more difficult to like set that up.
Yeah, Cole's busy as fuck.
He is, and I feel like he's probably on the West Coast all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either. Like, I know yeah. Cole has a team.
Right.
And there are certain projects that he has to take on personally, but he's yeah. Cole Bennett. Like, Cole pays attention to what's going on. Like, Cole is responsible for Ski Mask. He does, like, numerous videos for, like, a whole bunch of rappers. Like,
yeah, so many.
Did he do... Has he done a Lil Pump video?
I don't know, but I mean, like, I know he's met, like, Rick Rubin, and, like, he's definitely, like...
He's worked with Rick Rubin?
I swear... I don't know if he's worked with him, but I swear there's a photo of him with Rick Rubin. I might be wrong. Twitter will tell us if I'm wrong, but I feel like that's out there. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
But, you know, it's Lyrical Lemonade Records, man. Where dreams come true. Shout out my boy.
Yeah, let's... Like, I'm literally gonna... Rick Rubin... Make for compelling podcasting. Rick Rubin, Cole Bennett. Let's see if I'm right or wrong. Cole Bennett on Twitter. Rick Rubin invited me over to his home this past weekend and showed me the true result of hard work and dedication. I'll never forget that day. That was in September.
Okay, so they did. They were hanging out.
They were hanging out.
Yo, man, Rick Rubin has the world's weirdest beard I've ever seen. Still great guy. He, like, him and my boy Tokyo work real good together.
Yeah.
But he has the weirdest beard I've ever seen.
Have you seen him in person? Have you ever met him?
Fuck no.
No? Well, I don't know, man. Like, you go on tour with Yachty, like, you're
No,
you're
I get it.
People.
Like, no, like, I get it. Like, I just... Bro, I'm telling you, like, I am literally shocked by the things that I've experienced.
Yeah.
To the point, there is literally nothing that just... I just, like, when I'm talking to my friends, like, yeah, you know, I saw Beyonce again today. My female friends are, oh, fuck you. Such a piece of shit.
But you're a grounded individual, man. You really, really are. There's zero ego. You're just, you're somebody who believes in hard work.
Yeah. I mean, you should. Don't.
Yeah.
If you gotta toot your horn, toot. Right. But if not, just let it go, bro. It's not really, there's no reason to shit on anybody. Because at the end of the day,
100%.
The only difference between people is money.
Yeah.
We're all humans at the end of the day.
Man, I love your perspective on things. DJ Oreo, like, you do cool work. You're a supremely nice individual. The two times I've gotten to chat with you on the podcast have been an absolute pleasure, man. Thank you so much for coming up, man. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Appreciate it to be invited.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's play Fortnite or something. Let's go.
Yeah, and you know... I'm looking forward to the next Oreo Fest event. I want to be there, and I'll be the one tweeting positive things, not being like, why the fuck didn't you play my request?
You know what? What's funny about that is that for 20,000 people, they all want to hear the same thing.
They all want to hear the same thing.
They all want to hear the same thing. Like, I can tell them, I've pretty much narrowed it down. I want to do something, like, weird now. Like, who would I want to tour with?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's go out with that. Like, who would your dream tour be that people might not expect?
Not expect?
Or that they would expect, but who's your dream tour?
Well, shit, I would say my friends, but I just went on tour with my friends. there are very few hip-hop stadiums. A lot of people don't realize the difference between arenas and stadiums. Mm-hmm. There are no hip-hop stadium tours. Mm-hmm. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to have to say Beyonce. I want to do with Khaled. Khaled went on tour with B, mm-hmm. and that was cool. I would just want to go on. Like, when you open it for somebody, bro, it's kind of like, it's weird because you got to, doors open at 8, you on at 8:45.
Right.
There's no way that you can get 20,000 people in a place at 8:45.
No, everybody's still waiting outside and getting their bags checked and all that shit.
Now, see, luckily, on the Chance Tour, I had two sets. I had when people walked in, mm-hmm. and I went directly before him. So I got, like, the full width of, like, everyone. Nice. If I tour, I would need, just give me 10 minutes
yeah.
before she go home.
10 minutes before Beyonce, the dream.
Just 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Just let me get up in there. I take care of the rest.
I want to see that happen for you, man. I want that Beyonce tour to happen for you. I hope that we put that into the universe tonight.
I cry.
How can people find out more about what's going on? Where would they look for an Oreo Fest announcement when it comes?
Everything about me is DJ Oreo.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I can say this. The DJ Oreo... the verified accounts, the DJ Oreo, the verified DJ Oreo accounts on Instagram and Twitter, and the Oreo Fest accounts on Instagram and Twitter. I like Shirley Temples and I play Fortnite.
I love it, man. Yeah,
that's pretty much all I got.
I love it, man. DJ Oreo, I'm so glad we got to continue the conversation tonight. It was a blast talking to you last time, and this was fun, man. This was easy and so enjoyable, man. And really, like, I just want nothing but the best for you. I hope this Beyonce tour happens.
You call me if you see it, so you let me know.
I'm going to be like, we have him on the podcast, man. Listen to this. Here's where he talked about it.
Our next interview should be over Fortnite.
There we go, man. That'd be fun. Well, let's move this podcast over Twitch to just playing video games. We'd reach a huge audience like that. That might honestly be the next thing we do.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I love it, man. DJ Oreo, thank you so much for coming out,
Thanks, man.
It was great.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcasts. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.